Made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. And what pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans he took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs for us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. What a wonderful passage. It really speaks so much of that amazing grace and that incredible gratitude that we have for it. And like Wayne always says, you know, you can spend weeks on a passage like this and still only be scraping the surface of it. But today I want to look at it through the lens of knowing your value in Christ. And so let's look at the first part. Verse 4 says, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. So firstly, before anything else, we have value because of who we are. In Genesis, we read that we are made in God's image, according to his likeness. Long before you or I existed, long before the world was even created, we were already the focus of God's love. He knew exactly who he was creating when he knit each and every one of us together in our mother's womb. And it's like that song we sing, Reckless Love. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. God was already there. Long before we existed, we were already the focus of his love. I find it mind-blowing and frankly quite overwhelming that the God of everything, the God who created the universe with all its galaxies and constellations, that very same God created us in his image, breathed his life into us, and focused his love on us, of all things in all creation. If that doesn't tell you how valuable you are, I don't know what will. You have value simply because you were created in the image of God. Let me see if I can explain it in a slightly better way. So in my hand, I'm holding a banknote. For all intents and purposes, it's just a piece of green paper. On one side, we've got Madiba's face, and on the other, a family of white rhino. Sorry, I know it's perhaps a projected image would have been better. But we've got the magnetic strip. We've got tactile marks for people who are blind. And it clearly tells us the value of it is 10 rand. So I hope I don't get in trouble for doing this, but I'm going to crumple that up. So it's now looking a little bit worse for wear, I think we can agree. Kind of like something I'd find in one of the kids' pockets or scrumpled up in the bottom of a bag somewhere. But it's still worth 10 rand. It still holds its value. In fact, I can... Yeah, now it's starting to look like a real 10 rand. It's really crumpled now, really dirty, really dusty. Yet it's still worth 10 rand. And in fact, and I'm not going to do this, but even if I were to tear this note, I could still take it to the bank and they would have to honor its value. Shops may not like to accept it, but according to the South African Reserve Bank's website, as long as you have 2/3 or more of a note, they are obligated to pay you the full value after verification. So no matter how dirty, how crumpled, how tatty, it doesn't lose its value. And the same is true for us. We can go through all sorts of stuff in life. We can feel pretty crumpled up, downtrodden, defeated. We can have made some terrible life choices. I know I have. To the point where we may even feel completely worthless. But that's not how God sees us. Beneath all that dirt and grime is someone made in God's image. And he loves you. Underneath everything, there is someone created in the image of God. And he loves you. Now, I don't know about you, but knowing that changes everything for me. I mean, how could it not? Knowing that you and I are all valuable because we are created in God's image makes all the difference in the world. And it's a reminder to us that every single person that we meet has intrinsic value based on that same fact and should be treated as such. No matter how disheveled, no matter how grumpy or disagreeable they are still made in God's image and deserve to be treated as such. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to an interview with Dr. John Lennox, who, I don't know if you know about him, but he's quite an extraordinary man. He's a professor of mathematics at Oxford University, and he's written a number of books about the kind of interface between religion, spirituality, philosophy, and science. And he's been such an advocate for the Christian faith over the many years. And during this interview, he was talking about a period in his childhood. He grew up in Northern Ireland, and at the time, there was a huge divide between the Catholics and the Protestants. It was ugly, and there were horrible wars going on. Now, his parents, who were strong believers, they refused to subscribe to any of that. His dad owned a small store with about 30 employees in their town, and he employed equally across the religious divide, something for which his store eventually got bombed for. John's brother himself nearly lost his life in it. And when John, who was a young boy at the time, said to his father, "But Dad, is it worth it? Why? Why do you do this?" His father responded, "Scripture teaches that all men and women, irrespective of their worldview, are made in the image of God, and I intend to treat them like that." Powerful words in a very difficult time, and ones that serve as such a strong reminder to us. You and I and every person that we meet are made in the image of God. We are valuable because of who we are. Secondly, we are valuable because of what we cost, the death of the Son. Verses 6 to 8 read, "He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift-giving by the hand of his beloved Son. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds. And not just barely free either, abundantly free." So I want to ask you something. How much is something worth? We know that a house, for example, no matter how beautifully made or maintained, is only worth what someone's willing to pay for it. So something is only worth what someone is willing to pay for it. So what does that say about us and how much we are worth to God, knowing what God was willing to pay for us and what a price it was? His own Son. It was a price that was paid for our freedom, freedom from sin and death, and freedom to live Spirit-filled lives. God gives us his grace and he pours it into our lives. He pours it into our cup, not to the point where we think, ugh, I've got enough. Not even until that cup is full, but until that cup is overflowing. And he's still not done. And that's why the message says, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. What an amazing God of mercy and grace. He gives the most costly gift he could ever give, and he does so freely and gladly. Now, this is not something the world can easily get its head around. Most of society is essentially based on a meritocracy, which is just a fancy way of saying that I have what I have and I've got where I am because I earned it. I deserve it. The world doesn't like the gospel because the gospel isn't fair. Simply put, none of us deserve God's grace, and yet he paid everything in full, once and for all. It simply doesn't make sense to a society where everything is based on merit. Surely I have to earn my value. Surely I have to prove my worth. And if I don't, why would God want me? That's what the world says. But God's ways are so much higher than our ways. And thank goodness it's not through our own efforts and achievements that we are reconciled to him, but rather through his infinite love and grace. Because if our faith reflected the beliefs of the world, I think we'd all be in a heap of trouble. And so we can either run around chasing our tails and trying to prove our worth to the world, or we can turn to a God of grace through faith and accept this incredible gift with gratitude. Society teaches us to say, I deserve it, and it fills us with self-importance. But faith teaches us, no, I don't, and I could never earn it. And that fills us with humility. And that's why finding our value in Christ alone is so important, because the world tells us that we have to earn our value. And if we don't, we are worthless. We're not good enough. But God says, my child, didn't I tell you? I made you. I bought you with a price. And I have so much in store for you. There is nothing you can do in this life that will make me love you more or less. All you have to do is believe in me. I'm going to keep going back to those lyrics of Reckless Love, because it says, I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away. None of us deserve it, and that's the beauty of it. That is the one thing that is so amazing about God's grace. So you're valuable because you're made in the image of God. You're valuable because of what you cost. And you are valuable because of what you can become in God. God has a plan for you. Verses 11 and 12 read, it's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. He had designs on us for glorious living. God has a plan and a purpose for us. My grandparents were avid gardeners. They loved planting things and tending to their garden, and they never had a very big space, but it was always beautifully kept. I remember many days of planting seeds and watering and weeding and making compost muti. I still am not quite sure what that was, but my grandfather assured me it was an important part of the process. And occasionally, if we'd planted things like beans or tomatoes or what have you, I would get a chance to harvest with them. And something I learned through all of that was that in and of itself, although it may not look like much, A seed holds such value and potential, a promise of what is to come. When it is planted in fertile soil and it's watered and it's in the sunlight, it sends a root into the soil, and then slowly a leaf comes up and breaks through the soil into the sunlight. A strong stem begins to develop to uphold the growing plant. And as it increases in size, the roots grow deeper, anchoring the plant in the soil and holding it in place. And as long as it stays rooted in that fertile soil and continues to be nurtured and watered by the gardener, it will thrive and grow to its full potential. It doesn't simply get to a few centimeters high and then go, I'm good. I'm going to just stay here. It continues to grow because it has a purpose. It was planted for a reason. It photosynthesizes, it converts carbon dioxide into oxygen, and in its own time produces flowers and eventually fruit. And the same is true of us. We are like the seeds. Sometimes we may not look like too much on the outside, but we have value of who we are and who we have the potential to be in Christ. When we are planted in the soil, it is God who does the nurturing and the watering. And as long as we remain rooted in the Word, in Jesus, we will grow to our full potential, eventually bearing fruit and continuing His good works in the world around us. He has designed us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He is working out in everything and everyone. So whether you are 18 or 80 years old, God has a plan for you, that you may grow rooted in His love and grace, bearing fruit and spreading His good news. We have this incredible value because of the good work that we are also able to do in God's name. So we are valuable to God, because under all the dirt and grime, we are people made in His image. We are people that He looked on and set His design on before the world began. He bought us with a cost, and it was a high cost that He paid. And through us, if we remain rooted in Him, God is still continuing to do a good work in the world. He has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. And so I encourage you today to maybe spend some time to just in gratitude, saying thank you, Lord, for this gift. Because it's just remarkable, really. If you find yourself in the other side of the coin, where maybe you're feeling a little bit tatty and a little bit frayed around the edges, maybe just spend some time saying, Lord, just show that to me again. Let's take some time to pray.